You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
The Lifestyle Show.
Selena McKenzie.
Animal Talk.
Presented by Selena McKenzie.
This is Animal Talk, our monthly animal programme, and it's that time of year again. Christmas lights, festive food, excited visitors, and for many... Ooh, who's doing that? That went straight to my ear, Nazli.
Sorry.
She's wrecking right. The place already.
Forgive you. It's because I haven't introduced any of you yet. For many pet owners, a bit of a worry about how this will affect our furry, feathered and scaly friends. So today we're answering your questions on how to keep your pet safe, happy and stress-free over the Christmas period, as well as anything else you want to discuss. Welcome to the show, Kay Millington, our resident cat expert.
Hello.
Nazli van den Keeboom, our resident vet.
Good afternoon.
And we have Elise, is it Dunweber?
Yes, I knew you'd say this.
I should have said it off air beforehand, right. Shouldn't I? Dunweber, who is a dog expert and she runs Ames Dog Rescue Charity.
Yes.
Yay!
Animal rescue, shall we say.
Animal rescue.
Dogs, but yeah.
Oh, right. OK, well, we'll hear a bit more about that later. Let's get rid of the intro. That's
Animal
a new
Talk,
one.
Presented by Selena McKenzie.
This is the cockatiel that's quite famous now, isn't it?
It's
that does
Archie.
The tunes. Yeah, it's Archie. We need to record him and put him on the beginning one of the shows.
Because he's a good idea.
He speaks now.
Does he?
Yes.
Teach him to say animal talk.
I'm trying little words at a time, but at the moment he asks me what I'm doing about 100 times a day. And then he says, stop it. Stop it. Because obviously when I'm always telling him off, he says everything that I say to him. It's very funny.
Bless him. Well, if you want to join in or ask our experts any questions, here's how to get in touch.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
So, it is coming up to Christmas, and one of my big fears is the festive foods, because there are certain things we shouldn't let our pets have, which I'm going to ask Nazli about, because you're a vet. You smile.
I thought you were going to sum them all up.
But the thing is, you can't sort of look after everybody. If you've got a house full of guests and they're dropping peanuts on the floor, for example, it's so difficult. There are certain things you have to be careful of.
Yeah. There's certain things that, well, probably everybody knows by now, but chocolate, yeah, that's a very much of a no-no. Then you have the macadamia nuts, because they always look nice with Christmas, but they're incredibly poisonous for animals. You have... things that they normally shouldn't eat either. Yeah, like the pips of the grapes, like raw onion. So suppose you're preparing the turkey,
yeah,
and you're stuffing all these things in there that you don't drop anything on the floor. And another thing is after the Christmas dinner and you have the turkey carcass, that you don't just put it somewhere in the kitchen because it shall be dangerous. Taken away. Yeah,
that's happened before.
And cooked bones, they splinter and they cause so much damage.
Yeah. we never give our dog cooked bones, ever. Very, very dangerous. But also, I mean, it is, you do sort of get a bit lax, don't you? You wouldn't normally feed your dog from the table, for example, but it's like, it's Christmas, you can have a treat, and then you can have another treat, and they can have another treat. Mm. And it's no good for them because they're not used to it.
They get a bad stomach, and then you've got a problem the rest of Christmas.
Exactly. And what about for cats, Kate? Because I would imagine that cats like routine and peace and quiet. So you've got a house full of guests. Is it best to take the cat and put it in a room on its own?
I mean, I wouldn't have guests, to be honest.
You don't guess.
Sorry, I never have guests. Not just at Christmas. I just don't want anyone in my house because of that reason. Because
I could relate.
My animals just they just. I mean, these people that we know, but like people that they don't know very well, they do get extremely stressed. And of course, if, you know, if you've got house cats, for example, like mine, if you add people round and then you've got people opening doors and all my house is protected, but I can imagine there's a lot of people that, you know, have got house cats and they don't. And, you know, you've got people coming in and out having a cigarette or going outside on the phone. You just don't know. I mean, I just banned guests basically all year.
It's
a perfect excuse really, but no, really, on a serious note, if I had guests round, I'd definitely have my cats in one room, and, you know, nice and relaxed for them, put some relaxing cat music on and just keep the routine the same basically. Otherwise it's very stressful, and I'm sure with dogs as well, like they can get very overexcited as well when, you know, with people and
Absolutely. Or
nervous dogs as well. You've got your rescue dogs that maybe don't want to see people as well, so I do think that you try to keep with your animals the routine as the same as possible.
How many dogs do you have currently, Elise?
I currently have 8 dogs
at
home, and I can totally relate to Kay there. I don't really enjoy non-dog people. In fact, I don't really know many non-dog people.
Neither do I.
I don't want to know.
We just don't know them.
But, you know, your dog friends understand. But they come first in our house. You only have to ask my husband how low he is on the pecking order. But, no, I don't want to stress them out. And often if you've got different people... I mean, Christmas tends to be for us family only, and we have a big family, and everybody knows that the dogs come first, and they know all of their likes and dislikes, what to do, what not to do, and I have rules, and if that door's closed, keep it closed. If that gate's open, it's allowed to be open. You know, just don't touch anything. But I have to be really careful. One of my dogs has special needs. He's got reduced cognitive abilities, and I'm very precious about him. Oh. He's an ex-Bates dog, and his needs come first. And, it's this... Christmas is a magical time for everybody, but it's also stressful for the dogs.
Of course, animals in general.
Keep their routine. Oh, and let them enjoy it as well. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. We all try to spoil
them a present
at Christmas. Yeah. Why not? Of course, you know, the smell of cooking excites them, and you know, it's a special time to spend with them as well. But I'm, you know, a little bit more mindful of.
Yeah, you do have to be more mindful when you've got animals.
Yeah, true, and also those that are not used to little children. Yeah,
yes,
then the grandchildren come also when they start running around and it's
pulling the tail and
very stressful.
Then the dog gets, if it's a dog you're talking about, gets a bad rap for it when it's not really their fault.
No.
What about fireworks? Because people do tend to have fireworks here, don't they? Particularly at New Year.
It's terrible. I think it should be banned.
Absolutely banned.
I agree. I've never liked fireworks.
There's something, I believe they have some silent fireworks. Somebody we know is campaigning to get those out and about. I can't bear fireworks, and I've got one who is so stressful. She was an ex-street dog, and she can sense the fireworks coming hours prior.
Yeah.
So New Year's Eve, I mean, the first New Year's Eve we had her home, I mean, she expelled from her anal glands, which, as you know, is not the most pleasant thing. And I said, what on earth is wrong with Frieda? And she was absolutely beside herself. There was something in the air. She could sense it coming. Yeah. She does the same with a thunderstorm. And she was at the back of she found a wardrobe to get right in the back of, behind the shoes, and cowered there until it was all over. Awful. She's much better now. We have had something from the vet to help her, and now at least she'll sit on my lap and she'll be fine. But it's it's horrible. These animals really do.
And there is no need for these loud bangs. No. I mean, I do enjoy the prettiness, the lights and the whole show.
But have them silent, like Elise said.
Please, do it without sound.
And also, you've got the wildlife, don't forget. I mean, you can't imagine how many animals die, how many birds fall out of the nest and have heart attacks. I've seen it, and, like, not a lot of people have, but I have actually seen dead birds on the floor, a lot of them, from firework displays, and it is horrific.
I don't suppose you know how Archie will be with things like noise, do you?
To be honest, because he doesn't know that he's a bird... He thinks he's a human because he doesn't know any different.
He can have a good conversation with him.
He's quite good with, but he's not like a normal, obviously, he's like, not like a normal bird. But, you know, the wild ones, I'm sure they get very, very frightened and it's very sad.
Yep. And when you say, Elise, you got something from the vet, you got something, medication to calm them? Or,
Yes, just something to keep her tranquil. And it's not for everybody. You do have to have proper medical guidance, and the vet will decide what's best according to their weight and so on. And if they've got any other health issues, you've got to be careful as well. But this keeps her somewhat calm, but it doesn't make a massive difference. She's still affected by the fireworks. And because I think once they've had a bad experience, I think that trauma stays. You can't get rid of that, but you can just try to keep them as calm as possible and reassuring as possible. Yeah.
Exactly. It helps also to keep the curtains closed so they don't see the
lights.
And just put on a nice television programme.
Yeah, the television.
Stay at home. Yeah. New Year's Eve for your animals.
I think we've discussed this before, Nazli. Can you get something like a calming blanket, or you can get something, or just you're supposed to wrap them in a blanket?
Yeah, there is the thunder shirt.
That's the thunder shirt.
Yeah. Which you can easily make of a scarf.
Okay.
Yeah, I think on our Facebook it's still there. It's a way that you wrap it around the dog so that the dog feels like protected.
Yeah. Like you'd swaddle a baby, really. Yeah. So they feel exactly. Like they were in the womb,
So that's the advice to somebody with a frightened pet to try that.
Won't cost anything.
Brilliant. I like that. And I know that, is it the stamen on lilies can be very dangerous to pets, to cats and dogs. Yeah. What about poinsettia? Are they safe?
Poinsettia's not safe.
No.
Wow. Okay. There's a lot of flowers and plants that are not safe. I just think it's better to just not have any.
Don't have any. Don't have visitors. Don't have flowers and plants.
Can you imagine what my house is like? It's so exciting.
Well, you don't get visitors. Nobody brings you flowers.
Exactly. You've got no food to eat.
I do have poinsettias, actually, but they're sort of out of reach. I do like them at Christmas time, but there's lots of other enriching things for the dogs to do, thankfully, than chew the plants.
Yeah. That's it. Mm. And it also depends if you have, say, really young animals. Yeah. If you have like puppy or a kitten and you're putting up the Christmas tree, now that is a challenge.
I don't have a Christmas tree. I've not had one for 15 years.
We're going to call you Scrooge now.
But honestly, the tinsel is actually quite toxic as well, isn't it, Nazli?
Exactly.
And basically, anything to do with Christmas is banned in my house.
Oh my goodness. If you've got pets, you're not allowed Christmas. What about, this is, I suppose, for all year round, but what about those plug-in air fresheners? I'm guessing they're not good for animals because the plug-in ones are normally quite near the ground.
They're not very good for animals.
No, because they're not.
They're not good for people either, really.
No, they're not.
Really?
We recently got one of the... I don't know if I can refer to a brand, but it's the Ambipure, the stand-up one. It looks quite aesthetic. So we got that, and it sort of every so often it spurted something out. And it was horrible. We were all sneezing, coughing, and it actually didn't even end up smelling nice. So, that went. And I've got diffuser reeds, a lot of diffuser reeds. The Dr. Varanges do really nice ones, and that sort of gives the house a nice scent.
Okay. I just have those sticks of rituals.
A bit like that, but then nicer.
Yeah,
that's what it is,
Those reeds. Kay doesn't have anything smelling in her house. We've got anything theme Arnie's going on.
Animal friendly.
Kay lives in a darkened room. Yeah.
In no the dungeon.
Right, we're going to take our first break, and then I want to talk to you, Elise, about AIM's sterilisation drive. We'll be back after this.
Animal Talk, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Another new one.
Mm.
Any guesses?
I'm struggling there.
Was it the penguin?
Is it them things with the beak, which I've forgotten, like a
puffin?
Platypus.
No, nope. It's one we've never had before, I don't think. So it's not a penguin.
Oh.
It's a raccoon.
A raccoon?
It's a raccoon. Oh, I don't know where she finds
it. It's a nice sound. It was a nice sound.
Yeah, I like raccoons. Okie dokie, Elise. So it's interesting because we often hear about sterilisation for cats, don't we? But not necessarily for dogs. So tell us about the AIM's sterilisation drive.
Okay, so this is a big bugbear of mine because a lot of focus with rescue is on the adoptions and finding them homes, which is super important. But if you look, for example, what Nile Harbison's doing in Thailand, to reduce the problem significantly over a period of time, sterilisation is the answer. You'll never eradicate abandoned animals, sadly. There'll always be this problem. But the best thing we can do is sterilise. We get calls all the time about pregnant dogs abandoned in the campo. Hunters will have thrown them out. Not always hunters, sometimes just people who've had a pet dog, never bothered to sterilise, thrown them out, and that dog is then pregnant in the campo. If that dog is then not helped, those puppies, if they survive, will then grow up, and then they will reproduce, and those puppies will reproduce, and so it goes on. And this becomes a problem for all the shelters across the coast, which is what we do as part of AIMS. We have a large sanctuary out in Seville. We have some enclosures there where we send special needs dogs. And recently, there have been pregnant dogs that we've sent there to give birth calmly, away from stress, and then we're able to sterilise the mum. A lot of people call us, oh, you know, my dog's had some puppies, can you help? Can you get rid of them, is the word they use. Can you get rid of these puppies? And I always say, we will take the puppies, but we will also take the mother and we will sterilise the mother, and that's it. Because otherwise that poor dog has to go out through this again and again and again. There's a lot of illegal breeding here, and it's just so shocking. We see horrible things all the time. The latest one, we took a dog from a very busy municipal shelter here, and we had a feeling the dog might be pregnant. She was abandoned on the streets, and we took her for an ultrasound, and there were some sort of unusual looking shapes on the echo which the vet couldn't identify, and said, listen, when we spay we can see what's going on there. And on spaying the dog, they discovered mummified fetuses. So obviously this dog was pregnant, the pregnancy didn't take, and the bitch couldn't expel the puppies. So they had been sat in her uterus for quite some time, one doesn't know how long for, but can you imagine that the pain she was in? And this is sadly a common theme. So, I mean, she's fine now, but this is something we get called up about all the time. Another call, we had a Podenco giving birth in the field. When the team got to her, she'd had two. There were another five that came after that. We had another pregnant dog. The puppies were dead inside her after a couple of weeks, and she didn't survive that trauma. We got her to the sanctuary, helped her as much as we could. She had all these dead puppies and she did not survive because of the infection and so on that she'd been sat with for so long. So we really want to try and do our best to help with this situation. So across the shelters in our municipality and further afield, we're taking as many dogs as we can to be sterilised, let them recover, decompress, and hopefully get them adopted and onto happier lives.
That's wonderful. Fantastic. Well done, you. That's great. Is there anything we can do to raise awareness?
Just keep pushing our website, www.aimsanctuary.org. There is a donate button for the sterilisation drive. get in touch, and we're always looking for volunteers as well to come and help collect dogs, and even offer a home for foster for recovery is always nice. But it's fundraising and awareness, really, and just to speak to people. If you see somebody and they've, you know, not to sort of walk by on the other side, if you see a dog you feel has been mistreated or needs help, you know, then reach out, speak to people, inform people, educate people. It's the most important thing. Too many illegal puppy farms. Two of my dogs have come from illegal puppy farm. It's just horrific. It's so sad for the dog who's used time and time and time again, and people just don't seem to see the bigger picture, sadly.
Exactly. And if you see how many of these dogs are around, yeah, because of course we get confronted with these dogs, yeah, that have never been microchipped, that have never been vaccinated, they just live somewhere in the compo or whatever, and then something happens, a wound or an infection or something, and then they have to come in. To convince these people, yeah, at least it needs a microchip, let me give it some vaccinations, can we please spay your dog? Yeah, and then you get the, we don't have any money.
Yeah, and it's a problem then, isn't it?
Yeah, and I can go as far as I can to help them with that. Yeah, and offer them a special price. We have a stray fund also that people donate to, so I can do things with that. Yeah, but of course I can't help everybody.
I can understand, though. I can understand if you're a person in a campo and it's not your dog, but you don't want to leave this poor dog in pain. You want to help the dog, so you take it to a vet. But if they, you know, it's not their dog, if they haven't got the money to do it, and obviously you can't do every stray dog, what's the answer for people? Is it places like you that...
Yeah, get in touch. I mean, we will help as much as we possibly can. I mean, I'm quite strict in the sense of, you know, when we do adoptions, we cover all bases. You know, if you cannot afford to sterilise your dog, at the very least, don't get a dog. If you cannot afford to look up, you know, we're very, very strict with our adoptions process. And when people apply to adopt with us, we go through everything. By and large, the dog is castrated or sterilised before it reaches the family. But when you've got puppies, for example, going for adoption, we really have to drum it into people, the importance of sterilising the dog. So, yeah, we do try and help as much as possible where people are really, really struggling, or people will find a dog on the street, you know, call us, we'll do the best that we can to help ease the pressure from shelters, because they're all overflowing.
That's the trouble, isn't
absolutely
it?
Absolutely true. Yeah. And there is still this new law in which the Ayuntamiento is responsible for a 24-hour rescue service for all abandoned animals.
Really?
Yes. But has it been done yet?
Yeah, and does anyone know about it?
And they've put out a tender now in Estepona for someone who wants to start an animal shelter. I'm like, why don't you just first give Adana this license that they've been waiting for?
Yeah, that is shocking.
And even say, well, okay, well, then we'll need someone to do the cats because they don't really have a place in Estepona. Yeah. But organise that.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to have like 24-hour veterinary service. That means three veterinarians a day.
It's impossible.
And the idea is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just not
happening. Implementation. No. The thing is, what the coast doesn't need, people don't realise, is we don't need another rescue centre. What we need is to support the existing ones.
Yeah.
Yes. We need to make them better. We need to reduce the pressure on them, helping get the dogs looked after, helping finance them, get the dogs into homes and do a better job. But they're not receiving the support, and that's really sad. If you open up another shelter, it will just be flooded with more problems. Mm-hmm. And then people, sadly, who are donating, a lot of the time they're donating for the overheads to keep the shelter going.
Yeah. Which they've got to have as well, but it's not trickling down to things like sterilisation.
Which is why when we do our fundraiser, it goes straight to the animals. We don't have overheads, we're not paying staff. We put our money straight towards the animals. We'll say, okay, each shelter we look after, what do you need? What do you need? How can we assist? And we do think one dog at a time. It's not a huge solution, but we're trying.
Oh, you're definitely doing a lot. That's brilliant. Well done. Salute you. You mentioned about ID and chips, etc. You wanted to talk, Kay, about ID and about tags on collars, because they can be dangerous.
And obviously I've spoken about it many times on the show, haven't I? But obviously with the fireworks and stuff coming up and Christmas and New Year and things like that, what I really wanted to say was, you know, the importance of having, you know, I know you don't let normal people don't let the dogs roam, but if something did happen and your dog panicked and ran away, if you find a dog, if someone finds a dog, they normally don't have time or... Obviously, we would, but a lot of people would be like, oh, it's not got a collar on, it's probably a street dog, I don't have time, I've got to go somewhere. If you have a collar, a dog collar, with your telephone number on, doesn't even have to have anything else on, just your telephone number. And the same with cats. It's so much easier for us to connect people with the owners. Of course, you know, not everyone's got a lead in the car, not everyone's got a cat box. So if you find an animal and the telephone number is there, easy to see, then you can just call the owner. And especially now with the time that's coming up, you know, animals do go missing. You know, people, as we spoke about, having people in your house, animals being frightened, fireworks. So I think it's really important. And also, I think, like, I've seen a lot of the advertising stuff for the tracking collars for dogs and for cats as well. And I think they're really good if, for example, when you do take your dogs out. And, you know,
I have to say, I've been seeing them more and more.
Yeah, I have as
my
well.
My friend's got one and it works really well.
And, of course, with cats, as mine don't go out anyway, but normal people's cats probably do.
Normal people.
And I've got friends with them and they're fantastic. They can track where they are. You put a border of your house or your garden and when they leave, it actually sends an alarm to your phone so you know when your cat's left the garden.
Because that's the other thing you mentioned about visitors. People do tend to leave the door open. If they're not, and it, you know, dogs or cat people, they forget and they leave the door open. It's like, no, the dog's gone, the cat's gone.
But at least you'd know where they are. Of course, it doesn't prevent them from having an accident, but it helps you find them quickly. So I think the tracking collars, you know, they've got lots of different types of one now. It's not just one like they had before. They've got so many different types of tracking collars, and I think they're fantastic.
And also a lot smaller than they used to be.
Yeah.
And once had this cat and had this, like, huge thing hanging on its neck. I was like, oh,
but now they're fantastic. They really are really good. So I think it's worth investing.
And you get them just from Amazon, places like that.
And you have an app on your phone, and then you can see where they are. And also you can just go to the, for example, if you go to, like, the shoe cobblers and things like that, you can get the tags for your dogs and your cats. It's €10.
Oh, right.
Okay. You know, it's fantastic, and it helps you reunite with your pet.
And you can even have a collar embroidered with the phone number so that they don't lose
clever.
That tag.
That's, mm-hmm. That's clever. Nice and idea. Safety collars.
And safety collars, of course, for cats. Never normal collars, because they can get caught. And they can have terrible accidents.
Until you tell me, I never even thought about that.
Most people know it, but there's a lot of animals that still come in, like a lot of cats still come in to get spayed, and they've got, I take the collars off and leave a little note for them, a nice note just to say, you know, please think about changing your collar, because it is very dangerous. Yeah. Not only can they hang themselves, they can get the paw stuck inside, or they can get it stuck in the mouth, and it can be really dangerous, so... Yeah.
And of course, the law is, Nazli, for dogs and cats, that they have to be chipped as well.
Yeah, they have to be chipped.
They have to be chipped. Not everybody does it, but they have to be chipped.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And not everybody updates their details. That's so it's really important, because the last thing you think about when you're moving house or moving to a new area, you do have to update with your new address and your new telephone number. Yeah. A lot of people forget to do that.
Yeah.
Particularly.
Yeah. The telephone numbers are the most important.
Yeah.
Yeah. So especially if you change telephone number, please get out onto your animal's microchip.
Yeah.
What I find really so infuriating is that there is not at least a Europe-wide database.
Is there not?
No. You've got...
There is.
But it's not...
Accessible.
Yeah, you can't. It's impossible.
You can't. We can say, it is in a European database.
You can say that.
But I can't get there.
And you can't get to it. If you look up a microchip from somewhere and it will come up, it's not from Andalusia. So then what do you do? You know, we've done a lot of detective work in the past to reunite a dog with their owner. And just a real bugbear of mine, if we could have a Europe-wide, at least, database where you can say, this dog is from Sweden, the owner may be on holiday here, but here's the telephone number and we can access it.
Yes.
But we're not able
to
do
there
that.
Is a way to go around it there because is. You can contact them, yeah, and then they... office hours, of course, and then they will contact us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and say, okay, we will contact the owner. They won't give you the information.
Long way it's tricky, though. I mean, the times where we've had sort of a Ukrainian microchip on a dog, it's impossible.
There's always ways, but it's difficult.
They are working on a system for the whole of Spain. That would already be an improvement.
Yeah.
Not only on the Lucia.
Very true. Natalie, car safety.
Car safety, yes. I thought about it because I've seen some really, really, really dangerous things. Now, for instance, a lady that walks into the clinic with a loose cat. Yeah, not in a box, just a loose cat in her arms. I said, well, what did you do in the car then? Oh, I just sat it next to me on the chair.
Oh, dear.
So
that's
dangerous.
Silly. Okay, so what could happen? The cat could wander around.
Under
you would have to
the
brake. The cat falls forwards, gets under your brake pedal. What are you going to do? Kill the cat braking or kill the kid that is crossing the road? It is so unsafe.
It's so unbelievable.
Now, there are rules. Yeah, the DGT here, the traffic, whatever, there is a whole set of rules what you are supposed to do and not, and what is fineable. Yeah, for the bigger dogs, they have to be, if you have an open boot, there has to be
a guard. Is that only bigger dogs?
Because they don't really fit in a transport in, because that is their advice is to put them in a cage. Yeah.
Because our small dog, and I don't know if this is a... probably going to get myself into trouble now, but you can get the collars that go into the seat belt.
Yes, safety belt.
So she's a small dog. She's allowed on the back seat with that.
Absolutely.
I would say it's better to have a harness attached to the collar because they can still be yanked around.
Yeah,
whereas
they're
more secure if they're in a harness with the seat belt on.
Exactly, and not on a collar. You don't want your dog go flying.
If you have
a smaller animal which is in a cage, don't just put it loose on the back seat or on the front seat, which is not allowed at all. Yeah,
no.
Put it on the floor.
Yeah.
Then if you do have to brake, it can't move that much.
Yeah.
Or if you do put it on the back seat, put the seatbelt on.
Yeah, it's some of these things are sort of obvious, but you don't.
The amount
always
of accidents
think of it. You
that
just
people
don't think
have had
sometimes.
Honestly,
yeah.
I had it last week. Only a lady turned up with a cat in the car. She'd just bought a new box, but not checked the box, which is another thing. You just need to cable tie all normal, like very good quality boxes. Always have holes in the corners that you can put cable ties. Normally, they're the good ones, and also you can cable tie boxes so that they are really secure. But the cat had got out in the car, and she was moving house and actually bringing the cat back because it was a foster cat, and the cat was sat. And she managed to get out of the car and come and say, you know, my cat's free in the car. But then obviously you've got to try and get back in the car. Then I had to put the box back together with cable ties because I couldn't get another box in because I couldn't get in quick enough to get a box in. It was a real military operation.
Can imagine.
And luckily the cat was good, but I have had it before where people have turned up with wild cats that they've had an accident. And obviously when they pick them up, they're in shock
when
they get in the car 5 minutes later. They're bouncing off the ceiling and everything, and they can't get out of the car.
They are fast.
And they're ringing you saying, I'm in the car, I'm stuck with the cat, and it's always, oh, it's okay, we'll just call Kay. It's fine. I've had injuries every single week for the last 5 weeks, but like infections as well from being bitten, because I'm not going to lose a cat in a car. If I have to get bitten, then, you know, I'm going to get bitten. But look, everything's turned out well in the end. No cats have escaped cars this month.
Well done.
Good
month.
It would be better if you just got a good cat box and checked that the door was closed beforehand.
Better.
Yeah.
Right, we need to take our second advert break and then we'll go over to some WhatsApps and emails.
We know that.
The Lifestyle Show. Presented by Selina McKenzie.
Is it a capybara?
It is.
Oh, her hair.
That's what we said when we first heard about it. And now we know.
We're experts now.
We're experts on capybaras. It's like a giant guinea pig.
I was going to say some kind of rodent.
Yeah. They've actually got a capybara, I can't say cat cafe somewhere in the world. I watched a video about it where you can go
and... sent it to us, didn't you?
Wow.
Funny.
Yeah,
funny.
It looks like a huge guinea pig.
Yeah, oh, ever so cute in a big way. Okie dokie, you see what you learn on this show? please excuse me. Kay, this is from Bevan Calahonda, and she says, please can you ask Kay, are there any fun but safe Christmas treats or toys she can recommend for a kitten?
Hi, Bev. Okay, in general, I think the best toys for cats and kittens, which I find very safe, you can, because Kong do like cat toys as well, which they can't be pulled apart very easily, which is the safety factor. So at the moment, they do like different kinds of animals, like, but the one I've got at home is like a big giant carrot. And it's got, like, feathers, not real feathers on the end, but the cats really can't pull them off. It's impossible.
Is it like rubber, though, like a cotton?
No, it's like a soft material. And you can put catnip inside. Mm. I've tried lots of different toys, but them ones, the cats and kittens, they seem to absolutely love them. I mean, I've got younger cats and older cats at work, and they just love them. So I think... buy a good quality toys. That's my advice, because some of them that you can buy, the cheap ones, they pull them apart and it can be very dangerous.
They can choke, can't they?
And I would say nothing like, I don't really like the ones with the strings or fishing rod kind of things, because you can, if you leave them unattended, they can get caught. So anything, a good quality toys, I would say something like that would be really good. And treats, I mean, there's so many. I think the healthier treats are the best ones that you can get in the vets. You've probably got some, haven't you, Nasli?
Yep.
But something that's not going to upset the stomach. But you can get some fantastic healthy treats now, which are not full of rubbish. So always, I would say, buy good quality treats.
It just makes me think we've got something, well, new. Feliway is like a pheromone for cats to calm them and for the environment. They've got like a snack now.
Oh,
so it's like a little
fantastic
tube, and they love the inside of it, and it just makes them like,
yeah, that'd be a good one.
Lovely.
Yeah,
we'll let you know where Kay's clinic is afterwards. Yeah. Do you sell toys as well, your clinic?
No, not really toys.
No, just treats. Yeah. Well, I hope that helped, Bev. The next one, I don't know who wants to answer this one, probably our vet. Are real Christmas trees, this is interesting because we've just covered this, are real Christmas trees or scented candles harmful to parrots and pet birds? Maybe it should be okay.
Well, I would probably say to all animals, I wouldn't recommend candles or anything scented, just generally, not just to birds, but I certainly wouldn't.
No, so birds are very, very sensitive on their airways.
Super sensitive.
Yeah, so anything with scent... you know, the classic old-fashioned parrot in the pub? Yeah, that was the worst thing you could do to a parrot.
Yeah, because people, years ago, when people used to smoke and stuff like that as well. But yeah, I would say no.
Okay.
And for Christmas trees, I'll have to ask you that one, Nosley, because I never had a Christmas tree.
And
do you know what it looks like, though?
But I can imagine the birds
here.
I can imagine
a Christmas tree. Okay.
The birds, though. I mean, Archie would definitely try and eat the Christmas tree if I had one. He'd make a mess for sure.
Yeah, I'd start picking things off and jumping through the tree, and of course,
But then he's a bird. Who
can blame him? Plastic ones anyway. Like, you can get really nice fake trees now.
But aren't they just as bad? They're fake.
Well. I'd probably eat, they'd still try and eat
still
them.
Still destroy it.
Yeah, they'd still destroy it, but...
Well, Claire and Mallorca, you won't be having a Christmas
Sorry
tree or a scented
that,
candle this year.
No scented candles, no Christmas tree, no guests.
Right, I'm going to throw this one over to you, Elise, and hope it's a bit happier. Mark and Tara Molinos, love the show. Thank you, Mark. I've recently rescued a 4-year-old greyhound, and he's wonderful but very nervous around traffic. Any tips on building his confidence on walks?
Hello, Mark. Gosh, yes, that's great that you've got this greyhound. Patience is the key, and consistency. And don't reinforce their fear. Did you say it's a boy or a girl? Sorry.
I don't know.
I want to say him or her. I'd like to.
Recently, he.
So don't reinforce his fear. You've got to. So it's traffic. So you just. Every day, little by little, go, something positive happens, go back again. And that's it. Do not stop, do not acknowledge the fear. ignore the fear, and your contact is with the dog, and you make that a positive experience. So your interaction with the dog, keep it consistent, short, and then make it longer each and every day, and always something positive happens on that walk where there's traffic.
That's a good idea. Yeah. That's
and then,
good
so tip. Then they associate going past that with something good. Oh, I'm interacting with my human. Oh, I got a treat. Oh, that's not, oh, now we're going home again. Nothing bad happened.
Yeah.
Whereas if you are looking at that traffic, stroking the dog, looking at the fear, looking at the fearful thing, you're just reinforcing.
Yeah, they pick it up from you, don't they?
So you ignore that. There's nothing to see here. You just keep going. It's positive. We're having a lovely stroll. Something positive happens. We go back home again. And just keep on with that every time. And slowly, little by little. It takes time.
It takes time, but it will work.
Yeah. All animals can pick up on things, can't they? I remember I used to ride my horse across the bridge, across the motorway from where we kept. we had to go to the beach, we had to go across the bridge. And I was petrified because all these lorries are going underneath and beep, 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 beep. But I remember somebody saying to me, don't let her know that you're worried, because if you're tensed up and worried, she's going to get worried. So I used to sing every time I went across the street, you are my sunshine. And it worked. Yeah. It worked for a little bit.
I think we end up passing a lot of our anxiety onto the dog without knowing it. You've got to really be conscious of your breathing, and we all do it with all of our animals. We know there's something the animal's not going to like, and you, in turn, you're not going to like it because you know it's upsetting the animal. You've got to have your technique, be it singing, deep breathing, your mind is elsewhere. Nothing scary is going to happen, and Bob's your uncle.
It's good. He's just sent another one. Mark said, thank you very much, Elise. Good advice.
Excellent. Very good advice.
And then this one from Phil and Chris, unsure where you are. Our dog insists on bringing us gifts. As you are talking about Christmas, we get sticks, socks, a single slipper, and once we had a potato. Do we need to worry about where he got the potato from?
Ask him to go back and fetch some more.
Could have it for your Christmas dinner.
As long as he doesn't come in with the chicken of the neighbour.
That's funny, Phil and Chris. Thank you. Talking about Christmas lunch, what are you going to give your pets, Kay, for Christmas lunch this year?
So this year they're going to have sushi. Shishimi.
You mean like real shishimi. Human sushi?
Yes.
They're spoiled, your pets.
That's what they're having because they love it. And my partner always plans their Christmas dinner before ours.
Is Mr. T as bad as you? I thought it was just you in your house.
He loves our animals. They're spoiled. So he's already said, this is what they're having for the Christmas dinner, and this is what I'm going to treat them to this year, and this is what they're going to get as a present. So, yeah. And they always we've got little scarves that we had handmade, obviously safety ones, you know. And they all wear the little scarves on Christmas Day, and then I do like a little photo shoot of them all with together.
We want to see it on Animal Talk with Selena. We want to see it on the Facebook page, Christmas photo. What about you? You're celebrating Elise Winston's first Christmas?
Yes, Winston's first Christmas. Winston is a dog I ended up with, like them all, really. This was actually from a litter outside Adana. And I'd been to see Susie to talk about the charity and what we're going to do to help and get some of the profiles of the dogs. And I said to her, now don't forget, you call us anytime you've got PPP or puppy issues. We're here to support you. And before I'd even got home, she said, there's a box of pit bull puppies outside the shelter someone's thrown out. So, of course, I went back to pick them up. They came to our puppy house and all of them got adopted except for Winston. And my husband named him Winston. And I think once you name a dog, that's it. You've got a connection.
You've got a bond.
And he just worked his way in with the pack, and he's here to stay. So, yeah, it's his first Christmas. Aww. He's a bit of a kangaroo. He likes to jump, so I'm not quite sure how he's going to be with the Christmas decorations, and we'll find out. But looking forward to it. It'll be great fun.
I'm guessing you just don't do anything like this for your pets. You just have a normal Christmas lunch. Yeah, me too.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Although I have to say, we are going round to our friend's house for Christmas lunch, and their dog, Luna, is best friends with Gracie because we're always all out together. So I think they'll definitely have some presents from us, I'm sure.
No.
But they won't be having it at lunch. So that is that. I need to read out our AAA Dog of the Week, and then we are almost done, ladies. It's gone so fast. So this week we have Storm. If you can think you can adopt a rescue dog, Storm. You know Storm.
Storm's beautiful. Amazing. Storm is gorgeous. I think I named Storm, actually, when I was there, yeah.
There you go. If you want an Elise named dog called Storm, Storm is 3 years old, a very handsome light tan and white mixed breed dog who is of medium height. He needs an active and committed family who enjoys outdoor adventures, playtime and sharing his enthusiasm and zest for life. His family should have experience with strong dogs, as he can get a little boisterous with excitement and pull on the lead. You can go to AAAMarbella.org and put in his reference number 30072 to see him in action.
Animal Talk, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Is that a donkey?
It is a donkey. Well done. Well
I guess
done.
It's a donkey.
Of course it's a donkey. Okie dokie, that is it. Oh, hang on. Yes, it is it. Thought I'd missed one. That is it for this. Actually, it's the last one of the year because the next one is between Christmas and New Year and I'm not here. Oh. So this is Happy Christmas to you,
Happy
ladies.
Christmas,
Happy Christmas,
everyone. And to all our listeners. January. Thank you very much.
Enjoy
listeners.
The festivities.
Oh, I nearly forgot this one. Robert Hall, I just sent a message. Let me just send that. Robert Hall sent us a gorgeous picture of a nine weeks old, been with us for a week, testing toilet training but fun. His name's Zach and he is the most cutest little dog.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
Very cute.
Yes,
very nice.
Very
dog.
Cute.
Beautiful.
So, Elise, tell us, what does AIMS stand for? What does AIMS do? And tell us about your Christmas market that's coming up.
So AIMS is Animals in Marbella Sanctuary. We are a charity that's been going 2 years now and does what it says on the tin. Basically, we help animals in Marbella find sanctuary. We're not limited to Marbella. We do stretch across the coast and beyond. A lot of the little rescue centres we look after, lesser known to the public and don't get government funding, they stretch across as far as Mijas. We go the other way across to Estepona. So yeah, we help as much as we can. And what we predominantly do is take special cases, special needs cases, animals that are really struggling, that need that quality care, extra time. We take them out of their environment and to our enclosures in a sanctuary in Seville with our partner association, where they decompress, recover and get over whatever they need to get through. For example, we've taken a couple of dogs who've been in a shelter for 7 years. We took two from Los Barrios and one of them, Obi, he'd been in a tiny cage for 7 years with only a 20-minute walk to look forward to every few days. So you can imagine how he's feeling now in the most enormous enclosure overlooking acres of countryside, daily walks to the river. He's even got a wife. So that's very exciting. But yes, so that's what we do. We help special needs cases. And we have a fundraising, wonderful Christmas event coming up on the 4th of December for anybody that would like to come. We have a luncheon, which is now sadly fully booked, but we do have people can come and have a drink and visit our Christmas market. Very festive. And we've got a lovely choir coming as well.
And so it's La Sala, yeah?
At La Sala. So come and get into the Christmas spirit. If you've been put off by Kay's doom and gloom about lack of festivities, we're going to be
even she could go there, right?
Yes. Gonna have to, sorry, we've got like a minute and a half left. Nazli, tell us where your clinic is.
Okay, there's a Point of Veterinary Clinic in Estepona. You can reach us by phone, 952-804165 or on Facebook.
Kay, tell us about you in 10 seconds.
I'm Kay Millington, and any of your animal dramas or problems, you can send me a message on Facebook. It's Kay Millington.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, ladies. This has been Animal Talk. Give yourselves a round of applause. We always play out the last minute or so with an animal-related song. Here's Lobo, me and you and a dog named Boo. See you in January.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.